endeavoring to live just. And if you notice, the title is The Just Shall Rise. Each one of us has to take an inventory within our own heart as to what its intents are. I can appear to be doing right and not really be putting my whole heart into it. Our very core center of our heart has to be in an intent to do just in every single situation. Don't you know the enemy knows that? And don't you know that the enemy is going to use the people closest to you to try to get to you? As I read various stories in the Bible, I am amazed at how much the enemy uses people's families to come against them. You and I may look at some of these situations and say, you know what? That ain't fair. That's my blood that's working against me. That's my sibling that's working against me. And it's real hard to stay just in those situations. All of us were children at one time. And all of us may have had a sibling that may have been our nemesis. And not all the time were you and your sibling saved. Sometimes neither one of you were saved. Sometimes one of you was and one of you wasn't. And don't you know the enemy was busy with the one that wasn't, trying to get to you. When we look at what's happening in our world today, and you see some of the stories about things and conflicts that have gone on in people's families, and you wonder, do they realize that's their blood? They grew up together. And sometimes when they get older, things have happened between them and they never do fix it. And the Lord has been pressing this thought on my mind. God wants it cleaned up. The scripture that we are going to use as a foundation text, it's Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and the 16th verse. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Very simple verse, easy for each one in here to understand.
For a just man falleth seven times.
For a just man falleth seven times.
And riseth up again,
but the wicked
shall fall into mischief.
Now, before we get into the depth of this scripture, I want to give you a little overview. It says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth again, but the wicked fall into mischief. How many wicked have you seen fall into mischief in the news? So-and-so slew their brother because they were arguing over who was going to win the Super Bowl. The just have a support system in place. The wicked do not. Now, I want to make this real clear. This definition of falleth does not mean sin. There are some people that take this scripture and tie it in, well, God knows I'm trying to live right, but I keep sinning. That's not a just person. That's a person making an excuse for not wanting to deal with what's on the inside. This is about troubles, perils that come to a just person. It may be the hand of violence. As we have seen in the scriptures, you read about the persecution that took place. Just people just trying to live right and suffered violence. Some of them at their lives. Sometimes it's a physical action that has taken place. Jesus was teaching and he said, if that someone smites you on one cheek, turn the other one. Physical action. You can also carry that into words. Someone said something bad about me. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? It also ties into temptations assailing the mind. The enemy presents things in our mind, and many times our decision has already been made in here, and we haven't even acted on it. But the battle's in here. Sometimes it's a bombardment. The world pressing its ideals. The enemy pushing his agendas into our hearts and minds, wanting to shift us just a little bit. If my purpose as a just man is to make heaven my home, and the road is so straight, and I move just a little bit off, where am I going to end up? Way down there, I'm going to be off the road. We all experience that driving, don't we? I get a little distracted, and I'm driving down the road, and ever so slightly, I turn that steering wheel, and not before you know it, down the road, you hear the tire strip. Or the car shakes, moving you back over. They also mean afflictions upon the body. See, if the enemy can't get you in the mind, he can't get you to do wrong, let me attack his body. I'll get him to break. Did Job break? No, he didn't. Because he was going to be just. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what? Sometimes that's exactly what the devil, see what God let happen to you? It's very true. God is in absolute control of every situation that comes in life. It all has to pass through him. But how we handle it determines just how just we are. So now that we have an understanding that this does not mean sin, but it means a person who is fully intent to follow God through whatever comes in life, I'm going to stay on the path. That's what this scripture means. I've been a little beset by the situation. There are times when things come to you and you don't expect them, and the enemy comes right in behind it and starts to go to work on you. And there's times that there's going to be times when you go through some situations, you get on your knees and you can't even pray. All you can do is just on your knees. No words. You can't even describe the situation that you're going through. But God sees you down there, and he knows that this is traumatic to my child. And I can't even say what I want to say. How do you describe to God how to fix the situation? You can't. Our minds are not capable of it. But God knows how to fix it. And the scripture said that for a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. When the Lord woke me up with the scripture, I asked him, what's the purpose? To keep people focused. And I said, how do I explain it? He said, read Joseph. I've read Joseph many times. And you know what he said? He said, count them up. I said, all right. And I got to read it. The scripture says, the just man falleth seven times. Let's look at those seven. The first one, Genesis, the 37th chapter. All the times that I read this account, I never really thought to count and see how many times he fell. How many times trouble buffeted him, set him back, put him at a disadvantage. We all are very familiar with this account. Joseph is the youngest sibling in his family. He has an older father. He has older siblings. And his father's probably not really involved with all of them at this point in time. But what his father assumed was that his siblings would treat him right. Genesis 37 and 4. Someone read it. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Could not speak peaceably unto him. This is their sibling. You don't expect siblings to hate one another and can't even speak. That's one. Do you imagine Jacob when he sent Joseph? Do I have to worry about his siblings mistreating him? Did Jacob even know this is the way they felt? These are human feelings that we see every single day. They hated him. Why? Because his father had great love for him. There was a reason why his father had great love for him. There was something about Joseph's spirit that was good. He probably didn't have to tell Joseph twice to do his stuff. Joseph was quick to obey. And you know, siblings don't like when somebody's quick to obey. That's mommy and daddy's favorite. And then they couldn't speak peaceably. Do you understand the connection that Jacob had with God? I am sure that he trained his boys to have the same connection. And I'm sure they understood what the expectation was from God when it came to their siblings. But they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You ever been hated before? You had somebody that couldn't talk peaceably to you? It's hard to deal with people like that, isn't it? Genesis 37:18. Here's the second one.
And when they saw him afar off,
even before he came near unto them,
they conspired against him.
They're going to kill their own brother. All his father did was go check on, he told him, go check on your brother. See how they're getting along. And I'm sure Joseph was just, I get to go hang out with my older brothers. And they conspired to kill him. What disrespect to the parent. That's my sibling. And I'm conspiring to kill him. He ain't even big enough to defend himself. They teased him, called him the dreamer. You ever see siblings tease one another? Got a special name for them that is not uplifting? They're stinky. There's tattletale. They conspired against him to slay him. Second fall. You don't think of sibling as wanting to kill each other. That's not normal. You, when you think of siblings, they tend to uplift one another. Check on each other. See how they're doing. And if anybody dare to threaten them, you all grouping together against that person. They conspired against him to slay him. Number three, Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 23 and 24.
And it came to pass,
when Joseph was coming to his brother,
they stripped Joseph out of his coat.
His coat of many colors that was on him.
And they took him
and cast him into a pit.
The pit was empty.
He couldn't even get out of it. Do you see what's at work here? He was wearing his favorite clothes. Ten brothers. One little boy. And they strip him of his favorite clothes and throw him in a hole. How humiliating that is. What do you call those kind of people? What's the common terminology in this day and time? That's the bullies. Who do bullies pick on? People that can't defend themselves. And here's Joseph. All he was doing was obeying his dad to go check on his brothers. I'm sure he probably had some food or something that his father said, go give them this too. They out there taking care of the sheep. There's a scripture that says the idle mind is the devil's workshop. They had a whole lot of idle time on their hands, and the devil was going to work. They stripped him of his coat, cast him into a pit that was empty. I imagine the sun beating down, they're out there in the field, and Joseph, y'all gonna let me out of here? Hey! It's not funny anymore. And they over there chuckle. All right, let's look at the next one. Genesis 37, verse 28. Then there passed by
Midianites,
merchantmen.
And they drew
and lifted up Joseph out of the pit.
And sold
Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver.
And they brought Joseph
into Egypt. Here's a little boy that was born free. Now stripped and naked, sold into slavery. His dignity stripped from him. They probably took him up out of the hole, clapped some chains on him, threw him in with everybody else. And can you imagine what Joseph is going, what's going on in his mind? My brothers never did get me out the hole. They left me there. And now these people have come along and they've taken me. I may never see my father. He was worth 20 pieces of silver. What is that value in today's time? What's silver? $15 an ounce? I imagine it was probably less than $1,000. That's what he was bought for. Number five. Genesis 38th chapter. Verse 17 and 18. Now, we understand this account here. Joseph sold into Egypt. He's a slave. Even as a slave, he's trying to be just. And they recognize that this young man has a quality about him. And so he was put in charge of Potiphar's house. And God blessed him. And he's starting to rebound back. He still don't have his original spot because he's in a foreign land. Start reading verse. I'm sorry, 39:17 and 18. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out. Setback number five. There was a woman who had too much time on her hands. Look at that young man. He works so hard. He does everything right. And she targeted him. We live in a day and time where just people are targeted. There are people in this world that recognize your good qualities and they want to take advantage of them. And she meant to take advantage of him. He, understanding this is somebody's wife, I'm not having no part of it. But the idle mind was the devil's workshop, wasn't it? She figured out how to get him cornered in that palace somewhere and get her hands on it. And here's a young man, don't know what to do, runs out, leaving his coat. And he's set up. What happens to all of this responsibility that I have received? How I have prospered thus far in Egypt? And now it's all gone. And she started mocking him. The devil will mock you when you try to do right, including when people are trying to target you. But our goal is to be just. We don't do like the world does. If he was just an ordinary boy from the world, you would never heard this story. And it may be even possible that she wouldn't even targeted him. Because he wasn't the same quality as Joseph. Setback number 6, verse 20 of that same chapter. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. You notice that the scripture says a place where the king's prisoners were bound? This was not where they normally put people. This was, you could say, a minor offense location. For doing what? For being just. All of these different situations, you and I have the ability to wrap our mind about the around the emotions that occur when these types of things happen. We have the ability to ask, why is this happening, God? All I was doing was taking care of his house. I didn't want nothing to do with his wife. And he stuck me in prison. And you know what the enemy comes along? You can get him one day. But the scripture says, vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. But he had to go through this. He's trying to do what's right, trying to be just. This is just like the world we live in. You and I, we are trying to do what's right. Everywhere we go, leave a clear report behind us. And we suffer setbacks. We suffer different types of perils and troubles. And we wonder, what's going on? I'm doing what's right. Setback number 7. Genesis, the 40th chapter, 23rd verse. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now we understand the account. Joseph's there in the prison. Even the prison, the head of the prison recognized his qualities. And now he's doing, taking care of things in the prison. And a couple men ended up down there, and one of them, they had a dream. And they told him their dream. And he told them what would happen. But it said, when the chief butler, once he got restored, he forgot all about it. Do you know that Joseph spent 2 years down there after he was forgotten? For what? For doing right. That's a setback. That is trouble that he didn't cause himself. 2 years. If you go through a tough situation, over a period of 2 years, what thoughts go through your mind? Is it, God, you forgot me? I'm still in this situation. I'm still dealing with this. I'm still dealing with that. And his mind goes back and replays all of these setbacks that have happened in his life. It was possible. all I was doing was checking on my siblings. And this is where I am now. I'm in a prison all by myself and everybody's forgot me. You know what the enemy probably came and told him? See, that's why you can't trust God. Because God takes too long to take care of things. And he's forgot about you too. He could have been down on himself. He could have just let it all go. And we would have never heard anything else about Joseph. But Joseph had something. I'm a just man, and God is going to look out for me. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want you to think about that. He faced 7 falls. 7 things that set him back. But when you look at what that scripture says, there is a deeper purpose for what God is allowing to happen. There is a deeper purpose of why he allowed his brothers to hate him. Throw him in a hole, strip him. He'd be sold into a foreign country. There's a deeper purpose. When we look at what God does sometimes, and we only focus on the issue at hand, we got to step back a little bit and let me see it from God's side. God is revealing something in me. He's revealing something in the other person too. Amen. How else will they know what they got on hand? Except we go through these types of troubles from time to time. There are things that God could prevent, but he allows to occur. We often don't understand until the end of the situation is reached. God's purpose is then revealed in the final chapter. Genesis, the 41st chapter. Want to read verses 37 through 44.
And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh.
And in the eyes of all his servants. And in the eyes of all his servants.
Pharaoh said unto his servants,
Can we find such a one
as this?
A man in whom the Spirit of God is.
Pharaoh said unto Joseph,
For as much as God has shown
thee all this,
there is none so discreet and as wise as thou art.
Thou shalt be over my house,
and according unto thy word
shall all my people be ruled.
Only in the throne
will I be greater than thou.
Pharaoh said unto Joseph,
See, I have set thee over all of the land of Egypt.
Pharaoh took off his ring off his hand,
put it on Joseph's,
arrayed him in vesture of fine linen,
put a gold chain around his neck,
made him to ride in the second chariot
which he had.
They cried before him,
bow the knee.
He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt.
Pharaoh said unto Joseph,
I am Pharaoh,
Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot. What happened? Pharaoh had a dream. Nobody could tell him what it meant. And then that butler who had been restored, who was a little absent-minded, remembered, that man down there in the prison told me what happened. And he told Pharaoh. Do you understand the power of the Egyptian Empire in that day and time? When whatever Pharaoh said went, he had control over life and death. And here's Joseph. Joseph, you better tell me and you better be right. And Joseph told him. But I look at that and it says, Pharaoh said, where do we find one in whom the Spirit of God is? How did Pharaoh know about the Spirit of God? Have you ever thought about that? There had been some sort of interaction in his life where he became familiar with the Spirit of God. And he knew that the only person that could take on such a task is one with the Spirit of God. A just man shall fall 7 times, yet shall he rise again. God put Joseph in that place for a reason. He allows the things that come in our life for a reason. He wants to lift us up into a place next to his Savior that we can manifest what he has for us. That we can take on the responsibilities. And look at this world we live in. It's lost. They don't know how to solve nothing. I'm convinced this Bible's got all the answers. But it takes men and women filled with the Spirit of God that can take on these tasks. Yeah. Our first prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to be just in all my dealings. Sometimes it's easy to be just when everybody's going to see it. But what about those times when people ain't going to see it? How just are you then? Is there a little underhanded and when nobody's looking? You know, I used to play basketball, and sometimes I played with really big men. And I'd be chasing my man around, trying to defend him, keep him from getting the basket. And that big man would set that screen on you. And me being little, it would hurt. But you know, I learned something. If you come around with that elbow showing, you can get a good shot on him. And the ref didn't always see it. That's the way some people deal with in life. They get that little chicken wing out there. I'm going to get a little bit. God wants us to be just. That's the only way he's going to come to our rescue and lift us up out of these things is if we are just. The support system that we have. It said the just man shall rise again. It said the wicked fall into mischief. There is a support system that we have. And many times, we don't activate it like we should. You know what a support system is? It's a strong arm that upholds you. We have God's word. That's a support system. You deal with a situation you don't know how to handle, dig into the word. My sibling did me wrong. How do I deal with that? There's plenty of examples. We have God's spirit. If there's no solution on paper, he'll tell you what to do. We have our fellow brothers and sisters who are endeavoring to be just every day in their life. There's often something I mention. There is a great need for mentorship amongst Christians. Some people have gone through some things and they don't make themselves available to those coming on. Be available. You've gone through some things they might need some help with. Those of you that have gone through things, find those people that got the victory because they got some answers for you. We have examples that have gone before us. That's a support system. Look, brother so-and-so went through this and he came through with victory. I can too. If one person comes through with victory, it takes all of our excuses away. And when all else fails, Jesus Christ himself will carry you in those times. That time when you can't, when you get on your knees and you can't pray, who's praying for you? Jesus is. He knows exactly how to articulate the words. He knows exactly, Lord, this spot right here in that heart. Help them out. Lift them up out of that place. The writer says, injure not a righteous man, for though he frequently fall into distress, yet by the superintending care of providence, he riseth up again and is delivered from his distress, while the wicked are overwhelmed with the misfortune. The good always rises. You take milk that has come from a cow, what rises? The best part of the milk, the cream. And it sits up on top. That's the way God designed our salvation to be when we live just and we do justly. Are we going to automatically rise above it? There's nothing that the enemy can hold to and keep us pulled down. Even if you didn't do wrong, maybe you got to ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry if I have done you wrong. There's something that happens. You take a person that's endeavoring to be just, and they have some sort of conflict with another person. Even if that person is not trying to be just by you going the extra mile, yes, it has an effect. Yes. You know them pricks that the Apostle Paul was having when he was standing there holding them men's coats, and when Jesus came visiting and said, it's hard to kick against them pricks. That's the Holy Ghost working. In those situations when you are just and you do what's right, it touches people's lives. And they recognize something different about them. How can they take that? I remember one of my jobs I worked. I was working with this young man. He professed to be a Christian. And he always asked me different questions every now and then. And he said, Aaron, how come you don't curse? I said, because Jesus took it away. I told him I used to curse with the best of them when I wasn't saved. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus gets down in the heart, he will clean it all out. You'll find a greater vocabulary that doesn't include those words. I want to leave you with some promises. Job, the 5th chapter, and the 19th verse.
He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles.
Yea, in 7. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. How did Job know that? He had to go through something, didn't he? He had firsthand experience. There are 6 troubles that come my way, yet when the 7th one comes, there is no evil that touch me. You and I can stand on that. Sometimes the trouble comes in waves. And before, while you're dealing with one trouble, here comes the next one. And now you're dealing with 2 troubles, and one sneaks around the corner. But God has a power for you and I. It's not going to overwhelm us. Yes, it may set us back a little bit. It may give us a little weak knees, cause us to fall to our knees. But we're going to come through it. It's promised. Psalms, the 34th chapter.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Did he say flowery beds of ease? No, he didn't. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of some. No, he said all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Your spiritual structure will not be broken in trouble. It won't be broken in affliction. Sometimes we underestimate what God has given us. And we get into certain troubles, and we're like, I don't think I can handle that. How will you know what you can handle except trouble come? How can God reveal his grace and power to you except you go through some afflictions? That's the life of a Christian. When we get over there on the other side, they were talking about the angels singing with us. The angels can't sing that song. They can't sing about the grace that God gave in the midst of affliction and trouble. That's what we do. We've gone through it. And that's what God has done. They will be glad to hear our song. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. First Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And the 13th verse.
There hath no temptation taken you.
There hath no temptation taken you.
But such as is
common to man. But God is faithful.
He will not suffer you to be
tempted above what you are able. Or will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That doesn't mean we stay there when the escape route has been opened. I made you an escape route. Why didn't you get moving? I gave you strength to bear it. Why did you set it down? It's something we used to do with athletes when they were in the weight training room. We pretty much had a good idea of what they could lift. I'm talking about lifting weights. And as coaches, we always would push them. One more. Just press one more out. You know God is doing that with us. We are all men and women. We all got the same temptations that everybody else out there has. We all fighting the same devil. Why do some succeed and others don't? Maybe because they're not taking the way of escape. Maybe not pressing just one more. Let me push through one more time. Second Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord has generations of experience delivering people. There is nothing new in this time and day in which we live that God can't figure out. He's able to deliver each and every person out of the trouble. It said he knoweth how. And part of that how is equipping us just a little bit better. Let me give him just a little bit more grace in this area. Let me teach them how to soften their words just a little bit more. This is what the Lord is doing. Do you see the greater purpose of why he allows things to happen? When you look back at this situation with Joseph, Joseph is now second in command. Whatever he says goes. And you better believe Pharaoh would have backed up whatever he wanted. I want you to take my brothers and throw them in jail. Pharaoh would have lined them up. But where would the victory have come? Here's Joseph, now able to feed them, forgive them. It said he put his arms around them and kissed them. The same people that stripped him, the same people that conspired to kill him. Don't you know God was working on them too? He found out when he said, "You bring your younger brother Benjamin." Their hearts were changed. They had hesitation. I became surety for him. And God changed them. He changed him. He changed people in Egypt and preserved life all the way around. But if Joseph would have just focused, my brothers was mean to me. Now I have a chance to get them. Brothers, you see this ring on my finger? That means I can do whatever I want to you. That wasn't his comments. He fed them. The enemy, you know what the enemy wants? Keep that rift between them siblings. As long as I can keep them parted, I can weaken the family. God wants it dealt with. These things hinder the power. They hinder the blessing of God in the family. And the Lord wants to work on it. That stuff ain't going to make it in heaven. You ain't going to be on this side of heaven and that sibling that you had a rift with going to be on the other side. Not going to be. Amen. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 18th verse.
And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work.
And will preserve me
unto his heavenly kingdom.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe we're going to see Joseph in heaven. And I believe that he's going to be able to tell his story. It said he'll deliver me from every evil work. He was minding his own business in that house. and was targeted. There are evil workings going on right now that the enemy is conspiring to take you and I down. But we have a promise. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Anything that I could possibly imagine, the Lord is going to deliver us from. Scripture said, a just man falls seven times, shall rise again. You and I have this privilege. You and I have these promises. Sometimes it seems like there's going to be no justice in this situation. It's gone too far. Or maybe someone has passed on. Believe me, God ain't forgotten. He don't forget nothing. He'll bring something up in your mind. You remember when you was such and such? You need to take care of that. It could be years down the line. He's going to bring it back. Because in order for us to rise, there can't be nothing hanging on. There can't be nothing that I haven't fixed, nothing that I haven't taken care of. We're trying to be like him. And in order for us to rise, especially in this day and time, we got to live just. Even the laws that they are creating in our world right now are counterproductive to Christians. They're tailored to trip you and I up. You remember those three Hebrew boys? Now, when they play, you bow. They wasn't bowing. There was no reason for them to bow. They knew who God was. We're not going to bow. The king has decreed it. Remember Daniel? The king decreed you can't pray no more. What if our country came up with a law? You can't pray no more. How many of you would stop? You see how the enemy is trying to work? The things that are happening in our world is trying to buffet against us and get us to give up. Get us to change our beliefs and what we stand for. But you and I can stand. We can rise. And if it's all said and done, when we get to the end of life, what about those people that died in persecution? Have they got their justice yet? Believe it's coming. At the end, when God calls this world into judgment, he's going to balance the scales. And he ain't going to forget nothing. That stuff that people think, well, I got away with that. He's going to bring it up. That thought that I had of ill will towards my brother, he's going to bring it up. God is paying attention to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he knows when we're truly not just. We got to keep it clear before the Lord. Everything we do in life, God is measuring. Everything we say in life, God is measuring. Everything we think, he's measuring. God thinks on a level way greater than what we sometimes imagine. And he has special blessings that he wants to bestow. For those that are willing to rise. Joseph rose. He went from a hole in the ground to second ruler. Think about this spiritually. The places that hinder us in our spirit because we don't want to deal with it or are afraid to deal with it or feel like we can't deal with it. God's got something greater. But you have to pursue it. He don't just, let me give him this. How you going to know how to handle it? Pursue it. Ask the Lord, work in me. Make me truly just. In my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. So that you can receive the blessing he has. That is, do you really comprehend the power that Joseph had? Take that over spiritually. What if God bestows that kind of power? When you've gone through several situations and you've come through on top, what kind of power can he give you? What kind of testimony? Brother, sister, let me tell you, this is what I was going through. There were times when I couldn't even say a word when I tried to pray. But he gave me some power. He gave me some power to love. He gave me some power to forgive. He gave me some power to overcome. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He has an abundance full that he wants to give out. But he got to be qualified to get it. You got to go through. Pray for me.